See the kind of crowd I draw in here? Tell you what, standing room only. just real quickly, my name is Keith Riggs. I'm a tech rep with Syngenta, work in Arkansas and Boot Hill, Missouri. And we've been the sponsor of the consultant conference portion of the Beltwide since its inception. I worked with Bill Robertson when it was first done. And although this meeting has changed and got smaller and everything, it's nice to see the consultant conference is still a part of it. And as long as the consultant conference is a part of the Beltwide, we'll continue as a sponsor. I was asked to say a little bit about what Syngenta is going to be looking like down the road, and I'm pleased to say that Syngenta looks the same this year as it did last year, and will most likely look the same next year as it does this year. The ChemChina purchase is ongoing. All the boxes are being checked off, and it's highly unlikely that you'll see any structural changes or personnel changes here in the U.S. In Syngenta. So we're going to stay committed to all crops, including cotton. We have new seed treatments coming. We have a new fungicide for cotton called Miribus Top, which should be very, very good on target spot and other foliar diseases. We have a new insecticide seed treatment coming in cotton called Fortenza. We have a seed treatment fungicide called Vibrant CST, which is coming. And depending on the future of the Xtend crop system, we have a premix of S-metolachlor and dicamba coming in 19. So looks like we will play in that market if the use is approved by EPA past this coming year, which is the final year of the supplemental label, which authorized it in the first place. So anyway, we're glad to sponsor the consultant conference, and I'll let you get back to the program.
Thanks, Keith. Appreciate it. If I could get somebody maybe to pull some of the doors shut in the back, maybe just make one last little announcement to some folks. I'm sure they'll probably get the idea, though, whenever we shut some doors that we're fixing to get back started. I'd like to ask the consultants in the room, since this is our conference, if y'all wouldn't mind standing just so we can kind of get a look at y'all and kind of see how many guys we've got present with us this year. A lot better crowd than we've had in the last couple of years. And so on behalf of myself and the planning committee, I really appreciate y'all coming. And let's try to keep on attending this thing so we can kind of continue to make this a success. At this time, Bill Norman's going to come speak to us about contamination prevention. He kind of gave a talk about this last year, and I kind of took it to heart and visited with my Jenner and a couple other guys about what we can do to make things better. So I'm looking forward to hearing Mr. Bill give us an update.
Howdy. Hank, thank you. Appreciate it. A couple of thank yous. Number one, to Hank and the planning committee. I know Dr. Parker and I appreciate the fact that you guys spent some time with us on some conference calls trying to get this planned out for you. This is your conference, and all of you that are consultants, we appreciate your attendance, and we thank the folks that are on the planning committee for helping plan these speakers. Number two, thank all our speakers. So far, at least up to me, it's been excellent. Now, things are going to drop off here in just a minute, but they'll pick back up with Dr. Parker, who follows me. Also want to thank all of our sponsors. We couldn't do this without the sponsorship, not only for the consultants conference, but for all that our sponsors do for the entire Beltwide. We thank you for that. Thank you for your support to the industry. And then I want to thank you folks sitting in the room. We had great attendance earlier. I think a few folks must have seen my name and decided they weren't going to come back, but that's okay. Let me move into, and I changed the topic because there's a couple of opportunities here, and that's the message I want to leave, particularly with the consultants in the room. There are some opportunities here for you guys to really help the industry, and that's in the area of contamination prevention and sustainability. So I want to cover several of those topics today. I'll try to do it as quickly as I can. As Hank mentioned, I was asked to talk last year, and I thought, okay, I got that done. You guys don't want to hear from me again. No, the committee said, no, we want to hear from you. All right. I showed you this before. This is the sort of thing that we run into. When a woven knit or a woven fabric comes to this point and you've got this much aftermarket downstream input, and you start seeing the contaminants that you see there, there's a lot of money tied up right there, millions of dollars. We've got to stop this. We in the U.S. are known in our cotton industry as being one of the least contaminated sources of cotton in the world. That's a great thing. But we continue to have a slight uptick last year and again this year. I think we're going to see an uptick in the instances of contamination. We've got to do a better job, and this is where I think you as consultants and others that are working with our growers can help us. It's a significant education process. There's also a research component that we're working on. But for you folks, and I showed you this slide last year, this was what we saw from 2015. These sorts of contaminant issues coming back to us, some of this is from Mexico. Some of it is from Indonesia and China. You see some yellow, some black, there's some blue plastic. All of that is plastic, black plastic mulch. Again, we're seeing it in the bales. All these pictures are from a shipment of bales. There were some 200 and something bales in this shipment, all sent back to the United States, all rejected from the mill. Overseas. There's some money tied up just in the shipping costs. Again, this is in the laydown, in the opening room, where folks are finding it in the laydown, in the bales, and they're stopping the process, going through and hand cleaning that cotton. 2016, what's changed? We're still seeing the same thing. This is the top two pictures are from a customer in Turkey. Who responded to this is plastic that was found in one laydown on the picture on your right, my left, and a close up on the left. In the lower left is a letter from the Japanese Spinners Association, alerting my boss and I to the problems that they've run into, their members in Japan, over a contamination, primarily the yellow contaminant. What is that coming from? The module wrap. But it's not just yellow. It's red twine, it's blue, it's black mulch, it's a number of things. The strips there in the bottom right picture, those are from the nonwoven samples from Barnhart, the largest nonwoven manufacturer in the U.S. And all of that you see black. And if you could see closely, there's black, there's red, and a little yellow. All of that is plastic contamination in cotton non-woven material. And they wrote a letter and sent that picture in. So what's changed from 15 to 16? Not much. The problem hasn't subsided. It's still with us, just as large as it was before. What has changed is we're getting more calls from the classing office where they're discovering plastic in the sample. What does that mean? It means that sample, that bale, is going to be carry a remark of a 61. Other. You know, there's an 11, is bark. We got bark, grass. We've got several classes of contamination that get special discount if it's discovered. 61 is what is being charged for plastic. Level one, that's just maybe they see one piece of plastic in several faces of the sample. 455-point discount. That's 4.5 cents a pound discount. Level two, if they find more than one piece in a sample, 695 cents. 695 points, almost 7 cents a pound. That's not insignificant. There were a few calls in the 2015 crop, 2016 crop. This year in 2017-18, I'm told it's over tenfold more calls. Every sample that's been called a 61 with plastic has been retained. AMS Classing Office is gathering all that up for for several reasons to justify and get a firm handle on exactly how many bales we're calling. But this is significant. And every office across the Cotton Belt has had 61s for plastic called this year. So while it may be more prevalent in one area than another, it's prevalent all across the belt this year that it's not been in the past. We've got to have your help, and here's where I think our consultants and others in the room can help us. We've got to educate our growers to manage their fields, police their fields. Some of this plastic is blown in from if you're near a roadside. It's blown in. It's the traditional, what we used to call the bugaboo, the Walmart shopping bag, if you will. That type of plastic, that's still out there. But it's twine, polypropylene twine from hay baling. If there's been a rotation with, say, an alfalfa crop or other forage crop where forage has been baled using twine. We've even got some gins that are using some of this twine in their operations to tie tags or tie the heads of bales. Please, no, we can't have that. Go out and buy some cotton twine, not polypropylene twine. Mills see that, and we get the calls. Ditch liners, polypipe, those fields need to be policed. That material needs to be cleaned up to the best of their ability. You know, the idea of how we handle the mulches, if we've had a vegetable crop, particularly in the southeast and in some parts of Texas, here in the winter garden area, southwest of San Antonio and others where they have vegetables and then rotate with cotton, those issues come up. The proper handling and location of round modules. Certainly, the most obvious plastic that people are seeing is the round module wrap plastic. So everybody, it's a wrap. That's not the only plastic we got, but it's become the most obvious. That can be managed, and we're working hard with John Deere. And with our ginners, and we've got to work with our producers to understand how best to handle those round modules in the field, how to maintain their equipment. On those round module harvesters, Hank, there are at least a dozen different little wiggle triggers that if everything isn't adjusted just right, you have a malfunction in that wrap. So it's very important that those machine operators understand the importance of keeping everything adjusted properly, properly handling the round modules, getting them in and out of the trucks if they're using the traditional chain bed module hauling trucks. There's a trick to that. There's some education that can be done there to try to prevent from tearing that wrap. The key in preventing this contamination is to cut that wrap off that module in one piece. That's the key. And where we're having problems is when we're not cutting it off in one piece, but we have several straggling pieces, and that's where it is. So my ask of you today is help us convey the cost of this contamination. It's bad enough to get a discount, but the worst discount is when a mill says, no more, I'm not going to buy your cotton. It's not, you don't see a financial discount in a on the grade sheet. You just don't get to sell your cotton to that mill. That's what we're trying to avoid. That's what we're trying to avoid. So help us there. Moving on, I want to touch just briefly on sustainability. I think this is another opportunity for our consultant community to contribute to the industry working with our producers. And just bear with me for a minute as I go through this, but our definition of sustainability, early on in 2007, we were one of the founding members of Field to Market, which is an alliance of various row crop, commodity crops with farmer-facing companies such as our foundation members and sponsors here today, as well as conservation organizations, NGOs, and others, to talk about sustainability in agriculture, U.S. agriculture. And this is our definition, the ability to meet the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. That's our definition. There are now over 117, I believe I've got the number right, I could be wrong, it's growing every day, about 117, 120 some odd members of Field to Market. And you can see there, companies like Walmart, Kellogg, Syngenta, Bunge, Unilever, and as I said, National Cotton Council and Cotton Incorporated were two of the founding, there were seven founding members of this organization back in 2007. So we've gone from seven original members, we're now up to over 100, somewhere over 120. All with the idea of how can we convey the sustainability of U.S. crops. And in our case, of course, it's cotton. That's what we want to talk about. First thing is, how do you convey it? You've got to measure it. So our first goal in Field to Market was to provide a comprehensive system of measurement and reporting. That's called our National Indicators Report. And I'll come back to that in a minute. The second thing is, we developed a field print platform that can either be standalone, or we now have it licensed to several APIs, such as Syngenta's LandDB, Agrible has a API system, farm management system, that they're now licensing this into their system so that as you collect data on the farm, you're also conducting your field print. And I'll show you what that can look like. This is a result of the field print looking at the National Indicators Report. The most recent one came out in December of 2016. We agreed as a group in Field to Market that we weren't going to look at individual years. We were going to average in five-year increments to take out some of the noise between a drought or a wet year or whatever. What's the average in five-year increments? And you can see from 81, 85 through 2011, 15. So we're talking about a 30-year time frame here. And you can see from the blue to the red to the green to the purple, the shrinking of our environmental footprint in cotton in all five of the key areas. Land use, that's another way of saying yield. Soil conservation, how many tons of soil are we losing, the T yield of a crop. Irrigation water use, energy use, and greenhouse gas emissions. Those are our five basic measurements, along with some other social measurements that are also in there. But you can see that footprint shrinking. That's all good stuff. We can talk about a good story in U.S. cotton. That's a wonderful thing. Again, here's another way of looking at it. Over those 35 years, 31% reduction in land use, or flip that around, 31% increase in yield. Soil loss, water. Water is an interesting one. Not only is it a reduction in the percent use, but there's an absolute reduction in total gallons of water used, regardless of yield. It's a wonderful story in our better efficiencies, better applications. It's a good thing. Energy, greenhouse gas, you see all that. That's all good. We can now talk about, in cotton, a good story. And out of that kind of information, we here in the United States, and we partnered with our colleagues in Australia, developed what we call Cotton Leads. And that's a marketing program through Cotton Council International and our partners in Australia to talk about cotton production in our two countries, because we have similar regulatory issues, we have similar production techniques, and we have similar transparency in our systems. And we can talk about, in the world, how good our cotton is from a sustainability aspect. And that's a great thing. We have over 400 partners that have now joined Cotton Leads. And by partners, I'm talking about companies like Walmart. Just today, there's a press release either going out today or tomorrow. L.L. Bean has joined us. But there's brands, there's retailers, and spinners. And they do as a partner is just say, hey, we agree with your story, and we're going to use your cotton. We agree to consider your cotton as sustainable. That's a great thing. But there's one problem. We have a few of those partners are saying, just telling us what you've done in the past isn't enough. We need to know more. So over this last year, we went into the development of a sustainability task force at the National Cotton Council. The goal of that task force was to announce goals that we want to achieve by 2025 in those five measurements. We think we're the only country in the world that has set up these kind of goals and have a measurement system to prove that we're going to where we stand by the time we get to 2025. What are our goals? We want to reduce land use by 13% over the next 10 years. Reduce soil loss by 50%. That's an important one because if we reach that goal, we're basically saying we are going to reduce our soil loss to the point of the T-value, which NRCS says is your loss equals your production. So we have a net end effect. We think that's very important. Water use, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and so forth. You see the limits. We want to continue to shrink our footprint. And we've put on here the 10-year goal, the light blue in the middle. That's where our footprint will be, superimposed on the prior years. The measurement is the key part. And the field print platform is a key issue. And where I think there's an opportunity, Hank, is for our consultants to assist their growers in utilizing this tool and incorporating it into your management systems. In Texas, for example, the Texas AgriLife Research Service has now developed a Texas plan. They've joined Field to Market, and every research project in Texas on row crop production is going to have a field print associated with the data. So here's an opportunity, maybe another service that can be added as we move forward. You're going to hear more about this as we go forward. We hope every field looks like this one. That's what we're hoping for. With that, I'll stop. Thank you for being here. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.